This season of growing darkness, of growing quiet and turning inward has begun. Thanksgiving is my very favorite holiday, and I like it so much more now that I have divorced it in my mind from the problematic mythology of the pilgrims sharing a meal with the people indigenous to this continent. That story that we heard every year growing up in school is told through the lens and continues to uphold white supremacy and imperialism. But I'm not going to focus on that this morning. What I appreciate most about Thanksgiving is that it's the one secular holiday when everyone is encouraged towards a spiritual practice. It is truly and simply a time to feel thankful and express gratitude for the blessings in our lives. Psychologist Abraham Maslow proclaimed that gratitude is a central part of what he calls self-actualizing individuals. He said it was the capacity to appreciate again and again, freshly and naively, the basic goods of life with awe, pleasure, wonder, and even ecstasy, however stale those experiences may have become to others. Studies have shown that when people are experiencing a felt sense of wonder and thankfulness and appreciation for life, their parasympathetic activity increases. That's the part of our nervous system that's responsible for relaxing and controlling stress and hypertension. And thankful people recover more quickly from surgery with fewer complications, and they even tend to live longer. So gratitude is good for body and soul. But what if you're just not feeling particularly grateful at this exact point in your life? Some of us are grieving the loss of a loved one. Some of us are struggling with addiction and depression and anxiety. So the idea of simply choosing to be grateful can seem a little improbable or unrealistic or naive even. So is gratitude dependent upon a favorable external situation? Or can we be grateful no matter what is happening in our lives? Can we will ourselves to be grateful, even when it seems impossible? The Benedictine monk, Brother David Stindl Rast, he's a contemporary mystic, and he wrote this great little book called Gratefulness, the Heart of Prayer. And in it, he writes, "We notice that joyful people are grateful and suppose that they are grateful for their joy. But the reverse is true. Their joy springs from gratefulness. If one has all the good luck in the world but takes it for granted, it will not give one joy." So joy springs from gratefulness. Not only that, I would even say that gratitude is the key to being happy. It's the key to our happiness. And we can will ourselves to become more grateful. And it is a very powerful and very effective spiritual practice. We have within our power the ability to shift our experience of life from a baseline state of misery and complaint to one of joy and gratitude. Now, the more cynical among us might be thinking that what I'm recommending is just to bury our heads in the sand, to ignore all the very real problems in the world so that we can feel good. But that's not at all what I'm saying. What I am suggesting is that when we shift our focus, when we draw our awareness to all the good, to the blessings in life, we are actually seeing reality more clearly. The positive is the truth. Love is our true nature. Of course, if you look around the world through the lens of the media, there's all kinds of evidence of people being terrible to one another and to the planet. That's the news that sells. And there are all kinds of experiences I'm sure you can point to in your own life that would reinforce your beliefs that people are greedy and unkind. And that's because your experiences always reinforce your beliefs. The challenge is to change your underlying beliefs. You could also focus on all the goodness and beauty and compassion that's happening in the world and in your own life. The truth is that people want to be kind to one another. It feels good when we offer kindness and we help one another. It feels good to be the recipient of that benevolence. Think of the last time that you had an interaction with a stranger where you were both kind to one another. It feels really good, doesn't it? That's because people fundamentally all want the same things: to be loved and accepted, seen, appreciated, and valued. Everything that people do is either an expression of love or a cry for love. It's either an offering of kindness and connection or the desperate outcry of a person who believes that they have been forsaken. So if we can shift our thinking to begin to see unkindness in this way, as a cry from a lost soul longing to be restored to wholeness, then perhaps we can have more compassion. All the meanness that we see going on all around us is essentially an error. It is untruth. It is resistance to love, which is our natural state. All unkindness is a result of a person's ego defense system kicking in to protect them from their own deep fear of unworthiness. Our defenses always mask a deeper vulnerability, right? And all defenses backfire. They do the exact opposite of what we truly want. Defenses always push people away when what the heart honestly desires is love and connection. We say, "No, I'm fine, don't worry about it." When what we mean is, "Ow, that hurt. I'd really like a hug." Defenses constrict the heart. They impede the flow of love. They block the expression of the true self that is underneath it. Our ego responses are not the truth of who we are. They are spiritual errors. They are unnecessary systems of defense that we each developed over the course of our lives with the unconscious thought that they would somehow keep us safe. On the contrary, loving, big-hearted acts of compassion reflect the truth of who we really are. Underneath all the coarse layers of defense and bluster, we are still the sweet, innocent babies that our mothers once held and rocked gently to sleep. Even with the most defended person that you can imagine, if you could bore down through all the strata of ego responses to the core of who they really are, you would find their innocence, genuine goodness, and beauty. And that is the truth. So focusing on goodness, despite all the news to the contrary, is not burying your head in the sand and ignoring the awful truth. It is the recognition and affirmation that the truth is not, in fact, awful. Once you change your underlying beliefs about the truth, you'll begin to have experiences that reinforce those new beliefs. Mr. Rogers said that when he would see scary things on the news as a little boy, his mother told him to look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. When we choose to focus our awareness on the ways that love is at work in the world, we will see more and more examples of goodness and kindness. Those are the thoughts to nurture, because those are the thoughts that will allow our hearts to open. The way I have come to understand it, the human heart is like a channel or a conduit expanding to allow love to enter and pass through us and out into the world. Our job is not to generate love, but to simply release all the blockages within us that hinder its natural movement in and through us. And I know this is true. The more love we can receive, the more our capacity to extend love increases. This practice of gratitude helps us to open and expand this channel. And now more than ever, in these troubling times that we are living in, we are being called to learn and practice the ways of love like never before. We need to be able to understand how it is that fear coalesces into hatred. We need to see that the sparks of fear can be fanned into wildfires of racism and misogyny and transphobia and Islamophobia and all of those things, which threaten to destroy the most vulnerable among us. These times ask us to learn to open our hearts, our own channels to love as wide as possible. So let us practice opening ever wider to the truth of goodness and the gifts of life right here in this congregation, our very own love laboratory. Let us each make the choice to see the miracles of grace happening all around us every day, the ways that our lives are supported and held in a network of kindness and generosity. And may we make the conscious choice to watch for opportunities to step into the life-affirming current of love, the steady flow of giving and receiving. Because when we have decided to see the truth about all the ways that our lives are held in this suspension of love, gratitude is the only possible response. And from that gratitude will flow deep joy. May it be so for each one of you. I love you. Amen. And blessed be.